I love this church. Amen. Huh? Yo, I love this church. I love every person in this church. And I don't know, some of you were at the conference, and what happened at the conference is that Cornei Becker was going to preach, and Fred came up before him, and Cornei said he was so nervous because Fred is this prophet, and he was afraid that Fred was going to preach his sermon even before he got time to do it. Well, I was thinking, I can just sit there tonight, because everything that's happening here tonight, you know, is in this word that God has given me. I don't know who of you were at intercession before church, but you can go now, okay, because you actually heard the whole sermon at intercession. I love intercession. That's a time where we pray, we ask God what we should pray for, we pray for specific things. And we listen to God's voice. He shows us things. We stand in the gap for certain stuff. It's just, it's such a privilege to be there. It's such a privilege. And I really want to honor, we have some very faithful intercessors in this church that really comes often. We hear God's voice and we see what God wants to do. And really, today was, for me, just such a symbol of God's love for his church. As we were standing there and praying and people are sharing the words that they felt that God is saying. Every time they spoke, I'm like, oh, that's that part of the sermon. Oh, that's that part of the sermon. Wow, Lord, you really love us. Wow, you really love us. I'm not making this up. You're coming, Father, you're saying at intercession, you know what? I really do care. This is really the word that I want to speak to you. This is really on my heart for you. And everything that happened here, the songs that we were singing, all the words that people brought now, God is saying, I want to show you this. You can trust me. I really want to show you this word tonight. I really want you to listen to what I want to tell you tonight. But before I go on, what God first wants to tell us is that he loves us. Amen. Amen. Okay, and we talk about it many times, but I'm going to tell you tonight that God loves you. Okay? Each and every one of you, and you might be sitting here and say, yo. But I really want to tell you that God loves you. Okay, and I want to show you just a scripture. Romans 5 verse 5, it says, so someone got excited there or something. Romans 5 verse 5 says, the love of God has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit that was given to us. I don't know if you've ever read that. I'm going to read it again. The love of God has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit that was given to us. And what I understand from that scripture is that the Holy Spirit shows us who God is. When we read the Word, when we pray, when we worship, the Holy Spirit comes and he shows us the love of God. I don't know if you've ever asked the Holy Spirit, show me the love of God. You know, sometimes we come from backgrounds and, you know, my dad didn't love me or this or that, or I got abandoned or whatever. But God says, I don't want you to hope in that. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to show you the love of God. So it doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter if you ever experienced love. God loves you. It doesn't matter what you've done. God loves you. And I feel tonight God wants us to ask the Holy Spirit to show us the love of God. If you're not experiencing the love of God, if you're struggling to receive the love of God, I want you to ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, show me the love of God. And be ready. Be ready, because the Holy Spirit is faithful and true, and he will come and show you the love of God. Okay, but we're not speaking about the love of God tonight. That is part of the series that we're busy with. I think it was abiding in the Word, abiding in God's love. I think there's a slide, Agnes. And then there's abiding in God's strength. And tonight we're talking about abiding in God's hope. Sorry, being full of God's hope. Abiding, being full. Same thing, right? Okay, so we're talking about hope. You know, when I was little, someone once said, you must just hope in God. And I got such a fright because I was like, no, you can't say that. Because in my head, I understood hope as, just cross your fingers, this is going to happen. You know, like yesterday, crossing my fingers that the Springboks are going to win. You know, I was really like nervous there at a stage. or crossing my fingers that I will get this job, or crossing my fingers, oh, I wish this will happen. So I understood hope as that. Like that kind of hope. Okay, there is that kind of hope where you like, oh, I hope I won't miss the turn off or whatever you're hoping for. But that's that wishing kind of thing. But that is not the hope that we're talking here about here tonight. We're talking about a hope that is bigger than what we can imagine. A hope in a God that is bigger than what we ever can imagine. We're talking about a hope in a God that can do anything and everything. We're talking about a God, a hope in a God that is in control. Okay, so when we talk about hope tonight, it's not this fluffy thing of, ooh, I wish this is going to happen. It's a solid thing that we hope, that we wait, that we're expectant in what God is going to do and who he is. Okay, you're all still with me? I'm happy. Okay. So, I told you, I really like intercession. And what happened, I don't know who of you, we were only ladies last week, Thursday. Just put up your hands quickly. Who was there? Okay, great. Yes, Megan, you were. She looks confused. So what happened that day is that I'm driving here and I'm like, Lord, you know, what do you want us to pray for today? What are you talking to us about? And as I'm driving here, I got reminded of something that happened at the conference. And then when I got there, we started praying and I read the scriptures that was about the story. And I couldn't stop reading that story. I couldn't stop that whole week since that morning. I was just like, my mind was just in another place. I'm like, Lord, what are you saying? Why can't I get this story out of my head? And funny, then I will still pray and ask God, Lord, what do you want me to share? What story do you want me to share at this preaching or this sermon or whatever? And the Lord showed me to this story again. So we're going to read this story, or maybe I'll just give you a bit of background. It's where the Israelites are standing in front of the Red Sea. Who knows the story? Okay? So there's a whole path how they got there. They were in captivity in Egypt for about 430 years. And then they cried out to the Lord, and God sent Moses, and they got out of Egypt after a lot of plagues and stuff and Pharaoh that didn't want to let them go and all of that. But when they got out of Egypt, they walking out of Egypt. That's like 6,000 people. I don't know how it looks when... Oh, sorry, 600 men. And then there's children and wives and whatever. I don't know. I was an usher at the conference. Guys, and there was only 1,200 people or something like that. To organize people is quite a story, I must tell you. But anyways, I don't know how they organized like a million people walking out of Egypt. That alone is a miracle. But anyways, God was going in front of them. Okay? There was this cloud by day and this fire by night that was leading them out of Egypt. How amazing is that? You just follow this cloud. You just follow. God's presence is there, and they just followed him. And they went out, and then they came to the certain place next to the sea, and they moved a bit forward, and then the cloud moved backwards, and they move a bit backwards again. You can go and read it. It's in Exodus 14. And then they get to this place, Exodus 14, verse 9. Agnes, I know it's somewhere there. And Moses, no, not that one. The whole story. Isaiah. The Egyptians pursued them, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them and camped at the sea by that name, in front of Baal Zephon, where Pharaoh drew near. The people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they feared greatly, and the people of Israel cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us in bringing us out of Egypt? Is not this what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." And Moses said to them, "People, fear not. Stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent." So you're working out your own sermons by now, all the words you got beforehand, right? But when we look at the Israelites, you know, always when I look at the Israelites, I'm like, really? What are you moaning about? You know what's going on here, but have you ever put yourself in their shoes? You know, yeah, I'm part of the Israelites. I've seen all this stuff happening, and I really know that God is there. But now we're moving out of this land, and we're all moving with all our stuff. We get outside, there's this cloud. We're following this cloud. There's this fire by night. We're following it. You know, they said there in the one place they thought they're going to go that way, but then God takes them into the wilderness. So now, okay, we're going into the wilderness. We're following, talking to each other. I wonder what's happening, where we're going. We heard about this promised land. We're going to a promised land. You know, we've been in captivity for how many hundreds of years? Now we're going to this promised land filled with honey and milk. And I don't like either two. It's good. Something like chocolates and something like that. But now they're excited because it's abundance. It's talking about abundance. And they're excited of where they're going to this promised land. Okay, now all of a sudden, they move a bit forward and now they're going back again. You know, now, okay, what's going on? But still they're following the cloud. And all of a sudden, they look up. And what do they see? They see the enemy coming for them. They see Pharaoh and all the horses and the chariots and all of that, and they don't look very nice, you know. They're coming to kill. They're coming to destroy. They're coming to get them. I don't think I would be comfortable standing there. Because what's happening is the enemy is coming, and here's the Red Sea on the other side. So there's no way out. There's no way out. And now I always think, why are you moaning? What do they do? They're like, oh no, what's happening? What's happening? They cry to the Lord. Then they look to Moses and they say, Moses, Moses. And they start complaining and moaning. And I was thinking about it and I thought, sure, I think I do the same. If I'm caught in a situation like that, what is my first reaction? I complain. A bit of silence on that moment. So what happened here is that the Israelites for a moment or two were shaken. In that place there was a place of like, oh no, I actually don't know what's going on. I actually don't know what's going to happen. In that moment, there was a bit of disappointment. Would you agree with me? I thought, I had this promise, you know. I heard about this promised land and now I'm stuck. I might die now because the enemy's coming. Okay, my expectations were totally different. So there's disappointment. There's also fear. They said they feared. They feared. They were greatly afraid of what was happening. Not only there, there's doubt. Should we have stayed there? We told you, Moses, we should stay in Egypt and be slaves. Not only is there fear, doubt, there's a bit of anger. Why did you bring us out here? We should have just stayed there. Really? You know, what's happening here? And not only that, there's confusion. Did we do the right thing? Should we have followed? Should we have put the blood on our doorpost? Is this real? All of a sudden, there's just confusion. Where are we at? What should we do? And what I felt for us, and specifically in this time, I really felt many of us are at that place. You know, I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know where you're at. I don't know if you just lost your job. I don't know if you just heard that someone in your family has cancer. I don't know if you just, you know, failed all your tests. And you're like, but this wasn't the plan. This was not my expectation. I'm losing my hope here in what I thought. How I thought the road should look. Maybe you know, you can't fall pregnant. Maybe all of a sudden there's like issues in your work. Maybe, you know, like one of my patients, she was walking the one day, and the next moment she was paralyzed. Lord, this is not what I was thinking about. This wasn't the expectation that I had of how things should look. You know, there's anger, there's disappointment, there's fear. There's things going on in our hearts. And everything seems very dark. You know what? But then we look to Moses. What did Moses say to the Israelites at that place. It's incredible. What's the first thing he said? The first thing Moses said is, fear not. Fear not. And we heard it. God spoke to us already about this point. I don't even have to speak about it. He said, I love you. My perfect love casts out all fear. Fear not. Come and hide in my love. Remember my love. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you my love. Fear not. That situation that you're in, fear not. The second thing that he says is, stand firm. Another translation says, stand still. I can just see the Israelites going this direction, going that direction. Maybe I should do this. Some might think, let's just swim in the ocean, you know? Whatever, let's just do something. And so, we find ourselves in a situation. We think about all the things that we can do. We think about, I can do this, I should do that. No, wait, that one. And now I'm just making myself confused, and I don't know which direction to go anymore. I can't remember what the promise was. You know, I'm just like all over the show. And what does Moses say? He says, stand still. You know, another definition for hope is waiting. I don't know if you know that. He's saying, stand still. Wait. Wait on God. Be patient. Be patient. Wait on God. That is quite difficult for us. Huh? I can't even wait at McDonald's anymore. Ask Esty. I'm like, really? It's 2 minutes already and my food's not out yet. It's really difficult for us to wait. And God is saying, wait. Be still. Stand still. Be patient. I read you a scripture, Psalm 39, verse 7. Sorry, Agnes, I didn't write it down, so I have to look at the PowerPoint. And now, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you. What do I wait for? My hope is in you. A time ago, my family was going through a rough time. Okay, like things were happening, and I was praying and really seeking God in it. And one day, I went to sit before the Lord, and I was just like, I don't know what to pray anymore. I actually got to that stage where I just didn't know what to do. And it was so precious sitting there and just hearing God saying, praise me. And I almost want to say it's another place of being still. Just praising God. You know, not thinking, not trying this, not running there, you know, but just being like, I'm just going to praise you. And I learned something about hope that day. Nothing I prayed, you know, I didn't do anything, but I walked out there with more hope than I would when I would like pray and give my heart before God that day. God came and taught me something about waiting on him patiently. And while I wait, you know, just praising him. What's the next point? See the salvation of the Lord. Now, this morning, God actually showed me what this means. See the salvation of the Lord. You know, when we are Christians, the enemy will pursue us. Okay? It's true. I heard one guy once said that, you know, sometimes you just wish that God would have told you, if you follow me, the enemy will come after you. Okay, but it happens. You know, we've got the truth, we've got the life, and we can share it, okay? But the enemy will come, he doesn't want that. He doesn't want that to spread to the other people around you. So what happened when the Israelites, they were fine. They were following God, they were following the fire, they were following this cloud by day, and then their eyes looked up, and what did they see? The enemy. So all of a sudden, their eyes weren't fixed on Jesus anymore, weren't fixed on the Lord anymore. Their eyes were fixed on the enemy. Okay, when we're in that circumstances, when we're in that place, we tend to look at the enemy, everything that's going wrong, everything that doesn't look right. And worse than that is we listen to the lies. Yeah, you only came out of Egypt to die here because there's no graves in Egypt. I mean, really? Lies like that, or you know, you paralyzed now because this and this and this and this. Or you failed your test because this and this and this and this and this. And it's lies about who we are. And worse, it's lies about who God is. And in this place, what does Moses say? See the salvation of the Lord. Did they see anything? No. He said that the Lord will work for you today. But they didn't see anything. He didn't say, there, look at the salvation of the Lord. There was nothing happening yet. What is that? That's hope. That's hope. Hope. He could have said, hope in God. See what he's going to come and do for you today. Hope in God. And we see that in Romans. Romans 8, verse 24 to 25. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. When we hope in God, it's not always going to be something that we know how it's going to look like. There's not a certain expectation that we can have what's going to happen. But we know that we hope in God, we hope in someone, in some God, in the God who's in control. Doesn't matter if I don't know how it looks like. Doesn't matter if I don't know what's coming or why this is happening. I can hope in God. I can put my eyes on God. You know, this Friday, I came from work and so on, and the next moment I find myself crying. Like, you know? And really feeling sorry for myself and in a situation and so on. And in that moment, I was listening to all the lies of the enemy. And in a moment, it hit me. Hello, you know, what are you doing? It's a good thing you're preaching about hope this weekend, because now it's time to hope in God and put your eyes on God and not on the enemy. Such little things where we catch ourselves, you know, putting our eyes on that enemy coming over the hill, you know. We don't know yet what's going to happen. We don't know, are we going to die? Are we going to swim? Are we going to, what are we going to do? But we know that we can put our eyes on God. He will work out the way. And that's the next thing that he says. He says, the Lord will fight for you. Be silent. Another translation says, be at peace. The Lord will fight for you. Be at peace. I don't know in what situation you are now. And I can't say, just be at peace. I can't say that. But I can say, hope in God. You know, because he knows. It's not like he doesn't know. It's not like he's distant somewhere, you know, on the other side and says, I see, work it out by yourself. God knows, and he's there, and he's watching. And he cares, and he has a plan. You know, also when we look at the Israelites, it's very easy for us to judge them in a way. Why? Because we see the bigger picture. We know what's going to happen. So we're like, come on. You know, just trust God. He's going to do it. You know, but we see the bigger picture already. I love the story, Christel Mayberg. She tells the story about she's got 5 kids. And she took them all to school, and the youngest one was at home, and he was eating his porridge. Well, she's going to give him his porridge. And firstly, he said, I don't want to eat out of the red little bucket. What do you call it? Bucket. Bowl. Please don't eat out of the bucket. That's a lot of porridge. Bowl. Okay, so first, he didn't want the red bowl. He wanted the blue bowl. Okay, so she's like, she's sort of in a hurry. So she just, you know, give him the blue bowl. So every day he just eat his porridge with, say, milk and sugar. Okay, so she makes it with milk and sugar and put it in front of him. And he looks at it and he's like, I don't want milk and sugar. I want butter and peanut butter or whatever. You know, and she looks at him, she's like, there's no time now. Just eat your porridge. You know, and he looks like, he apparently has his glasses and he looks like over the glasses and he tells her, "Mommy, don't let me get angry with you." No? And I love the story because she tells us, he says, she looked at him and she just started laughing. She's like, "What do you know what's best for you? You know? I know, it's not going to make a difference. Just eat your porridge." And I laughed and I realized that's what we sometimes do with God. You know? We don't see the bigger picture. Doesn't matter out of what bowl we eat now. Doesn't matter, you know, if we eat peanut butter or we eat sugar and milk or whatever. God's ways is best. He's much bigger. He's been through this. He knows the plans. He says his ways are higher than ours. His thoughts towards us and his thoughts are higher than ours. We can trust him. He's worked this thing out. He is there. So when I was reading the story, I was like, so why did Moses know what to do? What's different about Moses in this story? He's like, "Fear not. Stand still. See the salvation of the Lord that he will come and do for you today. God will fight for you. Just be silent." How did Moses know what to say? And I'm like, wow, I want to be like Moses. Yes, when tough times come, you know, I just want to know what to do and just trust in God and hope in him and encourage everyone around me to do the same. And that's cool. But then I realized Moses didn't start there. I don't know who of you were here the previous time we talked about, or when I preached the last time about the holy ground. And Moses was coming to the bush that was burning, and God was giving him the stars to do and telling him how he wanted to come and free the Israelites and bring them out of captivity. And Moses wasn't like, "Yes, Lord, I'll do it. I'll trust you. I hope in you." No, no, no. What was Moses' response? "Oh, no, Lord, I can't talk. Oh, no, what will I tell them?" You know, Moses didn't immediately be like, "Fear not, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord." In that moment, he was like, "No, I don't know what to do. I don't think I can do this. Lord, give me something, show me something. What should I tell the people?" That was Moses' reaction. And you're going to go and read Exodus and right through the plagues and so on. There's times when Moses is like, "Lord, I don't know what to do. What's happening?" You know, there wasn't a firm like standing and trusting. But what I want to show you is that Moses sort of grew in this hoping in God. It wasn't just one day it's there and, you know, I'm fine and I don't have to worry. He grew in this. He also started somewhere. And when you read the whole Exodus, you're just like, wow, this Moses, he knows something about hoping in God. The last time I made a joke and I said, I don't think I call my kid Moses, but maybe I will. Just because he had such a hunger for God. He had such a hunger. He just wanted to know God. And he stood, he fought for his people. When God said, "No, you won't, I'm just going to kill them all." Like, "No, Lord." He was standing in the gap. He was standing in the gap saying, "Lord, no, 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 no. What about this and this and this and this?" Interceding on behalf of the people. So when we read Romans 5, verse 3 to 5, we see how we grow in hope. We see how we get more, how we go on this journey to hope and trust in God more. And we don't often read the scripture. And I don't really know why, because it teaches us so much about who we are and who we are as the children of God. It says not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame. I don't know who of you say, "I rejoice in suffering." But I think we'll get to that place where we will. Because we will understand that God is busy with something bigger here. Yes, it's painful. Yes, I'm disappointed. Yes, I'm fearing at the moment. Yes, you know, I'm angry and I don't understand everything. But you know what? I also know that God is bigger. I know he's busy with something bigger here. And I will rejoice in this because, you know, it's not about me. God is busy with something bigger. What does it say? The suffering, tribulation, a different translation says, what does that form in us? Endurance. And I love what the New King James says. It says, patience. Again, that word, waiting patiently on God. If we go through that suffering with rejoicing, we get to that place where we can wait and be patient and wait what God is going to do. What is he going to come and do? I'm waiting for you. And then it gives us character. I won't say much about my character. But it also says experience in another translation. You know, Moses had experience of God being faithful. He knew that he could hope in God. You know, at times when I really feel like, oh, I can't anymore, and what is the situation, and where am I going? I'm like, Merichan, just remember what God did for you the other day. You know, just like yesterday. Sometimes we're so disappointed in this place of despair that we forget that yesterday God did this thing for me. Actually, he's there with me. He's standing next to me. At times when I should have been like in the ground or flat on my face, you know, God was there. God was there. He helped me to stand when in normal circumstances I shouldn't be able to stand. God was there helping me to stand. So the last while, I've been just going through an interesting phase. I don't think it's a phase. season, yes, in my life. And before this started, I woke up the one morning and there was a song playing in my head. And now the worship band was helping me. But it's something like, you are not alone. I will go before you. I will never leave you. I think it's a Carrie Job or one of those songs. But anyways, I woke up with the song in my head and I was like, wow, Lord, thank you. What a cool song. You know, and what I didn't realize is God was starting to prepare me for something that is coming in my life. That's something that is going to come and show me, something that's going to happen, you know. And when God tells you those words, wow, you don't realize it when it's going, well, yay, thank you, Lord. You're going to go before me, you know. But when it strikes you and you're like, oh, no, I actually don't know what to do. I don't know which way. I don't know, must I do this? Must I do that? All of a sudden, you know, you thought it's going to look like this, but now people are saying that, and you're confused, and then you come back and you say, oh, God gave me a promise. Merichan, you know, just quiet down. Fear not. Be still and see the salvation of the Lord. You don't know how it's going to look like, but put your eyes on God. You know, and I was finding myself in that position. I was stressing and I was crying. You can ask Esty, I do cry, and you know, and I'm just like, I don't know what to do, and spoke to this person and that person, and it doesn't look like I thought it's gonna look, and you know, I'm just like, where must I go? Must I do this now? And I'm stressing, oh, must I do that now? And I'm just like, I'm confused, and I don't know. And God came and said, whoa. Be still. Guys, and in that moment, well, I was like, okay, be still. Just waiting on God. Everything quiet down. Because I was trying to do everything. I was trying to be strong. I was trying, you know, my own things. I was trying to work out a way. And God says, I know the way. Wait on me. What happened to Moses here? He said, wait, and what happened then? At the right time, God says, okay, Moses, tell the people to move forward. Lift your staff, point it over the sea, and it will open. Wow. Guys, God at the right time wants to show you. He wants to show you what he's going to come and do in this situation. There's a way out. For a moment you felt, there's no way out, but God is saying there's always a way out. Hope does not disappoint. It doesn't put you to shame. Hoping God will not disappoint you. When you put our hope in ourselves or other things, yes, I can promise you it will disappoint. But when we put our hope in God, he will not disappoint. He will make a way out. And I was thinking about it, and I was thinking of the whole Old Testament. God always made a way out. Go read the stories. Always he made a way out. And not a normal thing. Like, wow. You know, they're the enemy. They killed himself. You know, stuff like that. It seemed like we're going to die tonight. The enemy kills themselves. And other stuff. Can't even now think of things. But just like how God comes and he makes a way where there seems to be no way. God, we serve that God. But things seems like impossible. Like it seems like, really? What am I going to do for the rest of my life? I failed all my subjects. There's nowhere for me to go. God is saying, I will make a way. Put your hope in me. And you know, sometimes we're even hopeless because we actually messed up. And still God says, come back to me. Put your hope in me. I've messed up a few times in my life. But I really just trusted in the wrong things. I made my own decisions. You know, with the, what the Israelites says, they said, we should have stayed there. So when things go wrong, you know, you sort of, oh, why am I here? Let's just go back to how I was. Let's just go back to the old ways. But God is saying, no, put your eyes on me. Take your eyes off the enemy. Put your eyes on me. Hope in me. I have a way for you. I have a way for you. Let's read Psalm 33:18. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him and those who hope in his steadfast love. We started with this, the love of God. What does that word steadfast mean? It means that it will not move. It will not shake. Guys, when God says he loves you, it means it's everlasting. It's unfailing. It will not change. It will not fail. It will not go away. One morning you wake up and God decided he's not loving you anymore. No, that's human. This is supernatural. This is God. This is how God loves us. Amen. And then one more point. The Israelites was walking through, and what did they miss? They missed that God was there all the time. He was there. Do you know what happened when the Red Sea opened? Just before the Red Sea opened, that cloud and that fire that was leading them moved from in front of them and came to the back. It moved between them and the enemy. So even if the Red Sea didn't open, they couldn't come close to them. God said, I'm going to move and I'm going to show you I'm with you constantly. Doesn't matter where you're at, I'm there. You maybe didn't recognize me. You maybe didn't see me. You maybe didn't feel me, but I was there. I am here. I am with you. You know, and it's for me, so I was like, really, guys? The cloud, the fire, how can you not see it? But sometimes, when we're in that place of being so disappointed, it's hard for us to see the love of God. It's hard for us to see that God is actually there. Sometimes with our experiences, we tend to not trust in God anymore because we don't get the stuff that we were hoping for. But you know what? God is always the same. And we can always trust him. And no matter if we get the results that we wanted or not, he's there. His plans are bigger. What happened to the Israelites? They moved through the Red Sea. And we prayed it. Someone prayed it. Kathleen prayed it the other day at the intercession. And she said, thank you, Lord. We're still talking about the story. To this day, we're celebrating what you did that day. We're speaking about it. We're calling. We're saying this testimony of what happened. Guys, God is busy with something bigger. He says he has a hope and a future for you. He's busy with something bigger. There's a testimony that's happening here. When stuff happens in my life, I'm always like, Lord, this is not good, but Lord, I'm going to put my eyes on you because I know you're busy with something bigger. I know there's a bigger plan here. I know that people will see you through this. And you don't even know. Don't try and work it out. You know, don't try and work it out. How am I going to testify to my colleague about this that doesn't know God? Don't try and work it out. Just be yourself. You know, just testify like God says that something will happen. I'm like, you know what? Yo, this happened with me. And I thought it's the most normal thing ever. And they're like, what? Wow. That's amazing. I also want that. And I thought it was just normal, but God is coming and he's showing who he is, what he's doing. He's shining so that the world will see him. So they would hold fast onto him, so that they will trust in him, so that they will seek him, so that they will know that there's something bigger. There's some God out there that actually loves me, that actually cares for me, that actually has a plan for me. Guys, you might be going through a tough time, and I'm not telling you today, stop and, you know, fear not and hope in God and everything's going to be fine. I've been going through this journey now, and it's not necessarily tough. It's just very challenging for me to go through it. And, you know, every day there's a choice that I have to make. Just as I think, like, now I've got it. You know, now I hope in God, something else comes. And I'm like, oh, wait, let me just focus again. Lord, in this situation also, I hope in you. And then I'm like going strong and I'm telling my testimonies and then the next thing happens. I'm like, yo, okay. But what does that scripture say? Through tribulation, patience, character, hope. God will keep on forming us, keep on wanting us to put all our trust and our hope in him. Just going to read this. Hope is powerful. Hope is powerful. Why is hope powerful? Because we hope in a powerful God. And guys, I've seen when people hope, I've seen this church hope, and I saw the darkness flee. I saw that where there's hope, light comes, and the darkness flee. And I tell you today, we will hope in God. We will hope in God no matter what happens. And things will happen. We're not living in a perfect world. The enemy will always try to come and do things. But you know what? Our God is so much stronger. His ways is perfect. He knows. And we can trust him and hope in him. And I think if the church of the body of Christ stands up and say, you know what, we hope in God, then the darkness will start to flee because it won't be able to stop what God's people will do and what God will do through his people. I want you to close your eyes as you're sitting here. And firstly, I just want to ask, if you're here tonight and it's really, really difficult for you to understand the love of God. It's almost like there's no way I can understand it. I never experienced love. I don't even know how love looks like. No one's ever really loved me. How must I know what love looks like? I want you to put up your hands because I want to pray. I want to ask the Holy Spirit. Because that's what that verse says, that the Holy Spirit will come and show us, will come and impart to us the love of God. So if you're here and you're really at that place where you're just like, Lord, come and show me your love. Holy Spirit, just come and show me your love. Just put up your hand quickly. I'm just going to pray over you. I won't call you to the front or anything like that. Your Father, I thank you for this precious people, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you love them so much. Father, but nothing that I say, Father, will make a difference. Father, but you through your Holy Spirit, I ask that you will come and show them, Lord, the love of God. The love of God that is everlasting, that never fails, that never gives up, that never goes away, that never stops. Father, thank you, Lord, that they can expect, Father, to see the love of God. Thank you, Lord, that they can expect to see and feel and know the love of God that will never disappoint, that will never turn away from them. Father, thank you, Lord, through your Holy Spirit, that you come and show them your love and your truth. In Jesus' name. And then I also want to ask you, if you're here tonight and you actually just have no hope. You hear me talking about hope and you hear me talking about God, but actually you're at a place where you're just like, you know what, I don't even know who this God is. How can I hope in Him? Or maybe you just turn away from God because things are just looking so bad that you're just like, Lord, I'm just going to walk away from you because I'll just go back to the old ways, to the captivity, because that actually was better than what I'm here now. And I want to make an invitation for you to say, Lord, I want to run back to you. I want to come back to you. I want to sit at your feet. I want to hear the truth, Lord. I want to hope in you again, Lord. I want to be able to hope in you. Then I also just want you to raise your hand, wherever you are. And there's a last group of people that I want to pray for tonight. If you're at a place and what you're feeling at the moment is there's no way out. There's no way out. And guys, this can be for your own life, or this can be for someone else's life, or this can be for your country. This can be for things that you see happening around you and you're just like, no, there's no way out. This just doesn't look possible. Actually, this is just hopeless. This morning I had some family over and they were just talking about our country and stuff and it was hopeless. It's like there's no hope. And you tonight at the place where you want to say, Lord, I want to put my hope in you. In the circumstance that I'm in. Father, in this place that I'm, I want to put my hope in you. No matter what the world says, no matter what's happening, Lord, I want to put my hope in you, Father. Father, because I hope and I know that you will make a way where there seemed to be no way. And I want you to stand. So, Lord, I put my hope in you. In this circumstance, I put my hope in you. In this place where I don't know what's happening in my life, I put my hope in you. In this place where I don't know what's happening in my family, I put my hope in you. In this place that I don't know what's happening with my neighbors, why is that stuff happening? I put my hope in you. In this place where I don't know what's happening in other countries, I put my hope in you. Lord, because I know that you will make a way where there seemed to be no way. Father, I'm sorry, Lord, for not trusting. I'm sorry, Lord, for not putting my hope in you. I'm sorry, Lord, of trying to figure this out on my own. I'm sorry, Lord, for blaming you. I'm sorry, Lord, for being disappointed and angry and fearful. But thank you, Lord, that you're so good and you love me so much that you have a plan, Lord. And I don't see it now, but I know it because my eyes are on you. I don't see it now, Father, and I actually don't even feel it now. But Father, I will put my eyes on you. Lord, I feel disappointed, Lord. I feel so full of fear at the moment, Lord, but I'm going to put my eyes on you. Because Father, I know that you love me, and I will keep on saying that to myself, and I will keep on saying that to the enemy who's telling me lies. I will not look to the enemy anymore, Father, but I will look to you, because you are the truth. The way, the life, Father, you are everything. Lord, you are the King of Kings, Father. There's no one like you, Father. And thank you, Lord, that I can grow in this love. Father, and when I sing, make my faith stronger, I mean it. I mean it, Lord. Come and do what you have to do so that I can trust you more, so that I can put my eyes on you more, Father, even when it's difficult, tribulations, Father. Thank you, Lord. I want to follow you with everything that I have. And I know, Lord, when I walk out here, maybe I'll hear bad news. But Father, thank you that you are my God. And I can trust in you no matter what happens. Lord, that's where I want to be. I want to trust in you no matter what happens. I want to put my faith in you. I want to hope in you, Lord, for your glory. Your Father, we praise you tonight, Lord, and we worship you. And we exalt you, Father, over this church, Father, but over this region, over Rondebosch, Lord, over UCT, Father, and where we don't see any hope, Father, where the people don't see any hope, we stand today and we say, Lord, we hope in you. We know the God who's the God of the impossible. We know the God who saves. We know the God who heals. We know the God who makes and restores and make things new and bring hope. Father, thank you, Lord. We can declare it, Lord, that we'll not just stand here, Father, but we will declare the hope of Jesus over this place and over this country and over every person that is in a difficult situation, that they will know that there's a hope. There's a hope in Jesus. There's a hope in God who is much stronger, much bigger, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, through your Holy Spirit, you impart that hope to us tonight. Thank you for your help. Thank you for your strength. Thank you, Lord, that we can trust you. Thank you, Lord, that you come in and that heart, Lord, that is so broken, that you come and heal it, Father. Thank you, Lord, for that place that is so disappointed, Father, that you come and bring hope. We worship you tonight, Father. We worship you.